By the end of the first quarter of the 19th century, a form of school technology was up and running in America's larger cities, one in which children of lower-class customers were psychologically conditioned to obedience under pretext that they were learning reading and counting, which may have also happened. These were the Lancaster schools, sponsored by Governor DeWitt Clinton of New York and prominent Quakers like Thomas Eddy, builder of the Erie Canal. They soon spread to every corner of the nation where the problem of an incipient proletariat existed. Lancaster schools are cousins of today's school factories. What few knew then or realize now is that they were also a Hindu invention, designed with the express purpose of retarding intellectual development. How Hindu schooling came to America, England, Germany, and France at just about the same time is a story which has never been told. A full treatment is beyond the scope of this book, but I'll tell you enough to set you wondering how an Asiatic device, specifically intended to preserve a caste system, came to reproduce itself in the early republic, protected by influentials of the magnitude of Clinton and Eddy. Even a brief dusting off of schooling's Hindu provenance should warn you that what you know about American schooling isn't much. First, a quick gloss on the historical position of India at the time of the American Revolution. For Lancaster schools were in New York 2 decades after its end. India fell victim to Western dominance through nautical technology in the following fashion. When medieval Europe broke up after its long struggle to reconcile emergent science with religion, 5 great ocean powers appeared to compete for the wealth of the planet: Portugal, Spain, France, the Netherlands, and England. Portugal was the first to sail for treasure, leaving colonies in India, China, and South America, but its day in the sun was short. Spain emerged as the next global superpower, but after 1600, her character decayed rapidly from the corrupting effects of the gold of the Americas, which triggered a long national decline. The Netherlands' turn followed because that nation had the advantage of a single-minded commercial class in control of things with one aim in mind: wealth. The Dutch monopolized the carrying trade of Europe with globe-trotting merchant ships and courageous military seamanship. Yet, as with Portugal before it, the Dutch population was too small, its internal resources too anemic for its dominance to extend very long. Beginning in the 17th century, England and France gradually built business in the East, both balked for a time by the Dutch, who controlled the spice trade of the Indies. 3 naval wars with the Dutch made the Royal Navy master of the seas, in the process developing tactics of sea warfare that made it dominant for the next 2 centuries. By 1700, only France and England remained as global sea powers with impressive fighting capability. And during the last half of that century, these giants slugged it out directly in Canada, India, and in the territory which is today the United States, with the result that France went permanently into eclipse. In India, the two contended through their commercial pseudopodia, the British and French East India Companies. Each maintained a private army to war on the other for tea, indigo, turmeric, ginger, quinine, oil seeds, silk, and that product which most captivated British merchants with its portability and breakaway profit potential, opium. At Plassey, Chandernagore, Madras, and Wandawash, this long corporate rivalry ended. The French abandoned India to the British. The drug monopoly was finally England's. Out of this experience and the observations of a wealthy young Anglican chaplain in India, the formula for modern schooling was discovered. Perhaps it was no more than coincidence this fellow held his first gainful employment as a schoolteacher in the United States. On the other hand, perhaps his experience in a nation which successfully threw off British shackles sensitized him to the danger an educated population poses to plutocracies.